Check it out. You're smoking with Joe Thunder and his podcast brought to you by the Content Creation Studio. Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Joe Thunder back once again with that hotness. We got another episode of some fucking iconic ass Colorado history, Colorado hip hop history with for you today. Can't even fucking talk, you know what I'm
saying? That's right, though. We doing it today.
Yeah, we doing it, man. We've been doing it big lately, man. We want to just say, you know, shout out to everyone that's been coming through, checking out all the podcasts, guests, everyone, the whole nine, you know what I mean? We doing it big for y'all, man. Try to let y'all know about this knowledge, know what's going down in the city. But I got my homie, good homie, Elvis in the building. Be good dispensers.
What
up, homie?
Yeah, what it do, what it do?
Chilling, you already got what's that eighth wood twisted, right?
You know, we're about to smoke.
You're earlier today, right? Ready running late today?
I'm ready today. We're with the, yeah, I'm running late.
All right. No, it's kind of crazy. That traffic out there is fucking a mess today, huh, bro?
Oh, man, it was for a Saturday? Come on, man.
I think everyone's smoking Be Good Weed right now because, I mean, they drive like my ass. It's like slow everywhere. That's like, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody stuck off that Zah.
If y'all don't know, Mac Spicy, go hit up fucking Be Good Dispensary, like I said, right there in 11 West Hamden. They got that Zaza packs. They got those exotics. They got all that good shit. Fucking shout out to fucking It's a Bodega. They got those good snacks, you know what I mean? Those exotics for you.
It's a Bodega.
Yeah, go check them out on Instagram. They got their own website. They got some good shit. But like I said, we got a good episode for you today. Got some fucking Colorado icons in the motherfucking building.
Big time.
Like I said, I seen these guys when I was in the sixth grade. They were opening up for Kumo D.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? Jazzy Jeff, the skinny boys.
Hell yes.
That's a mammoth.
I love it.
I was a little shorty. We got fucking Squeeze. We got General Norad. We got Caesar. We got LOC, HBO in the motherfucking building.
HBO in the house.
What up?
Just chilling, man. Just chilling. Like I said, I seen y'all in fifth grade, dog.
Oh, really?
Wow. Really?
Wow. Fifth grade.
I remember little ghetto ass t-shirt that they were selling at the concert. Everything that Kumo D saying, go see the doctor. I was like, this is the tightest song ever.
Yeah.
Like, who knows about go see the doctor? I don't know about that. That was a trick question right there. The
motherfuckers got to do it sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, you know what I'm saying? But it's good with y'all, man.
He was pretty hot back then. Come on,
D. Good to see you, man.
Oh, for sure. For sure. We appreciate y'all coming on, you know what I mean?
Thanks for having us.
You definitely got to speak in the mic, though, a little.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us, man. I appreciate that.
So how y'all doing, man? How y'all doing with this COVID bitch shit?
Oh, we doing pretty good, man. You know, we dealing with the COVID. You know, it's just happened to come out of nowhere, you know what I'm saying? And then this is right after we reunited as, you know, the group and started getting back out there on the circuit, you know what I'm saying?
So you guys got to kind of start getting it going, and then this shit happened.
Yeah, and then it happened, so yeah.
But I did see y'all film a video about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, right?
Yeah, about a month ago.
Talk about that real quick, because that's the new shit that's on the block right now, right?
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Yeah, it's it's a song me and Squeeze put together called Madman, you know what I'm saying? And that's, I went out and got some more Denver veterans.
Couple
you know
hoods
what I'm
together, like old school OG.
You know what I'm talking about? I went and got
They down
boy.
The block from where we grew up, like we talked about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They on 34th, we on 40th.
That's right, you know that's right. Yeah, we went out and got your boy AK Love from Black Hole Posse. And we went, you know, out to the Bellows and got your boy Sabotage from Brothers Shit. Most Wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? From BMW.
OGs.
Yeah. And, you know, we came up with this concept of the song Madman, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we older cats now, you know what I'm talking about? And we looking at the whole city and the whole evolution of hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? And how, you know, Denver's still being looked over, you know what I'm talking about? So it kind of got us bitter, you know what I'm saying?
and
we're really mad right now. You feel me?
And not only that, though, you know what I'm saying? I had, at the time, I had this broad at the crib, you know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it really made the song, you know, for me mad.
Yeah, made you a mad man, right?
Yeah, made him really mad. So that, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, we just came with the concept, and we got the homegirl Jackie, you know what I'm saying, who's down with the new camp, you know, the Lions Den, you know what I'm saying? We'll get into that a little later. But, you know, I went out and got AK, Sabotage, and featured them on the song.
Right.
And the homegirl Jackie, and, you know, the song was sounding pretty good, so I had a vision, man, that, you know, we need to go hit the block, man, and
gotta
go
get a video together.
Get a visual of it, you know what I'm talking about? And so we went out, man, and got my boy Nico from Nico Music, man, and he shot the video for us. You know, it was in one day, maybe about 4 or 5 hours. And,
right.
We went and hit the block, hit City Park, you know, hit a couple of other little spots, you know, over in the hood, 25th and Lafayette.
Right.
And shot the video, man, and it really came out real good.
Right. How's that thing going for you so far, man?
Oh, it's going pretty good, man. You know, just like everything else in Denver, you know, it starts off slow. You feel me?
Right.
But, you know, it's picking up, you know what I'm saying? We getting some real good likes. And views on there, know what I'm saying?
Real quick, tell them where they can find that shit at.
All right, you can find it on YouTube at True Hustling Click. All you got to do is go to YouTube, type in True Hustling Click, or you can find it under THE Homeboys, the Homeboys, and you'll see Denver pop up. And as soon as you see that Denver, the Homeboys Denver, you click on it, and it's the first video right there. It's called Madman, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. The Homeboys featuring... Black Hole Posse and Brothers Most Wanted. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, yeah, we definitely appreciate you putting that shit together and, you know, like bringing it back, man, because we can't let this shit die. We got to keep it pushing, keep it going, sure. You know, brand new.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the sole purpose of you know, the foundation of Denver hip hop.
Now, let's go from the latest shit to the shit we talked about tonight, the first time you remember hitting the stage. As HBO.
Ooh wee. Oh man. Yeah, I'm gonna take you way back in the
way. Like, I was a little shorty when they were hitting the stage.
Wasn't even born, dude.
Nah. whoa, maybe not. You can't even know.
He was born. We ain't that old. No, I'm just kidding.
He's like, come on.
Yeah, he's like, yeah.
You
got some pictures. You ain't got no old school pictures.
But, you know what I'm saying, it started all back in 1985, really. You know, Chauncey D-Squeeze, he was into music, you know what I'm saying? He used to play the drums, saxophone, and all that. And then me and my cousin, TLA, you know what I'm saying, y'all might remember him as Thump, you know, our cousin, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Me and him was listening to, a.k.a. DJ Mo, we was listening to a lot of Run DMC. You know what I'm saying? A lot of LL Cool J, you know what I'm saying? We was really into music, and we used to stay up every Friday night and watch Teletoons and all of that. And was into all different type of music. Then hip-hop came along, and, you know, we decided to be rappers. We, you know, want to be rappers. We want to be like them cats on the record, you know what I'm talking about? So me and my cousin was thinking about putting a group together. We went on ahead and did it. We was called the Terrorizing MCs at first. It was me and him, and we went and got Chauncey D as our DJ, you know what I'm saying? And then
Squeeze.
My cousin come woke me up one day and said, they got there's some cats that moved next door to us on 23rd and Marion, and they from New York. And so I went up and I met them and said, and it was Love Ski, Lip Jockey, you know what I'm saying, and his brother Kida, his brother Q, you know what I'm saying, and his little brother Hassan, and these cats was – could beatbox real good.
Straight hip-hop.
Better than Dougie Fresh. Man. You feel me?
Yeah, man. They straight from Brooklyn.
Yeah, from Coney Island. Shout out to Coney Island to all y'all out there, to the Garrett family. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Right.
Love Ski. I see you, baby. You know what I'm saying? Got your new barbershop going. But, yeah, we put together a group from that day on when we heard them beatbox, and we were sitting around like, well, what are we going to call ourselves? And Love Ski, he just out of nowhere said, HBO, Homeboys Only. And we was like, okay, cool. Boom. We'll be the Homeboys Only. You know what I'm saying? Then we heard about a rap contest live on KDKO. Oh, it was downtown at the 16th Street Mall. I mean, at Woolworth.
Right.
We were talking about
on the 16th Street Mall. You know what I'm saying?
I used to get food, and I used to get ride-on magazines and G.I. Joe's from Woolworth.
From there, from Woolworth. I don't know if they know about the Woolworth.
That's back in the day.
That's back in the
day. It's Walgreens now.
No, Walgreens is on Catty Corner.
Catty Corner.
Walgreens is on across the street.
Yeah, you're right.
Woolworth was on the opposite corner.
You're right. 7-Eleven. That's the 7-Eleven. Yeah, you're right.
But, you know what I'm saying? So, dude. Contest was, you know, first place winner win some tickets to New Edition and all of that. So we just went down there out of nowhere. We had to walk all the way from the east side. You know, it was about six of us. It was a little crew.
Yeah, walking like the outside of shit, huh?
Yeah, we all walked downtown and we got into the rap contest, and it was hosted by Carlos Lando from KDKO. Okay. DJ Ricky O, I think, was there.
Damn, we got to say that. Damn, Ricky O. Shout out.
Yeah. And
Carlos Lando.
You know, we saw the other rappers out there doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? We saw, you know, Living Legends, Moore Mosley, all them cats down there doing it. And shit, we entered into the contest. And we had this routine that we would do with Love Ski. Carlos Lando. You know what I'm saying? Called Love Ski Lip Jockey. It was making him DJ and mix with his lips. And I'll be controlling him, telling him what to do. And next thing you know what I'm saying, he... We started doing our thing at the contest, and I told Love Ski we had this little thing we did with his lips called the Jingle Rock, and I said, "Well, Love, break it down with that Jingle Rock."
Jingle Rock,
and he started doing it, and the whole crowd went crazy and shit.
This
was
a beatbox, right?
Yeah, he was beatboxing and shit, and then and we ended up winning the contest. That was the very start of HBO and our very first show. And the second show we did, we had to win another rap contest.
That's how we got the chance to perform with Jazzy Jeff
and the Fresh Prince. We had to go do another rap contest, and we had to battle some of Denver's elite great MCs, you know what I'm saying? Most Illinois B-Boys, Fresh MCs, you know what I'm saying? Legends.
This was hosted by Big John.
It was hosted by Big John, DJ Slick Rick, DJ Mixmaster Mike, you know what I'm saying? DJ Chris Boom, he was involved, you know what I'm saying? DJ Starchild, you know, shout out to the Legion of Doom, you know what I'm saying? Y'all the true pioneers of this Denver hip-hop. But we ended up winning that contest. And that allowed us, the winner was allowed to open up for Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Kumo D, and the Skinny Boys. So.
Hell yeah. People don't even know about the Skinny Boys, huh?
Nah,
super slept on. Like, I still have their albums to this day, dog, from when I was a little shorty. Wow. real, dog. I love music.
They were the opposite
kid.
Of the Fat Boys. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Right, Skinny Boys.
But, yeah, man, that's how we got to open up for that, man. And when we opened it up, we used, like, the same method and the same technique we did with Love Ski with the beatboxing.
It's beatboxing and MC, right?
And we did this, like, LL Cool J type of rendition of Rock Them Bells, but it was called Rock Them Lips. You know what I'm saying? We just start out, Love Ski, Lip Jockey is hard, not soft. And if you dare try to piss me off when I go nuts, man, the people trip. We're busting out with that dope jam. Rock those lips. Just start hitting the lips, man. Fucking crowd went crazy, man.
And tell me what year this is again real quick. What year?
This is 1987.
87, man. Oh, my goodness. 87. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, I mean, and they was killing it like that. Like I said, I seen them on stage. It was dressed in all white, and I was just like, dang, and that was like your name was popping right then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was basically the full premiere of HBO, because from that day on, it was on, it was cracking. We was doing shows after shows after shows, and
talk
clubs.
About that show, though, that Jazz Jeff, that, like, one of your first performances. Did y'all have, like, butterflies?
Oh, man. Like, see, what had happened was, we got to open up for the show. And we went out and bought all the white sweatsuits. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to speak in it.
Yeah.
We went and bought the sweatsuits. You know what I'm saying? And our cousin TLA, he was the artist for the group. You know what I'm saying? He used to know how to draw real good. And we went and bought the white sweatsuits. And we had some little red mixed in it. You know, we all got coordinated, and we wanted him to draw our names on the back of the sweatsuits. You know what I'm saying? So he did it. You know, he got the markers, and he drawing the same day of the show.
Damn. And he busted out three pairs.
Yeah. So, and then we had to walk to Mammoth Gardens from the east side again. Right. You know what I'm saying? We was always walking.
Damn.
No, when you're wearing white, you can't be running. You know what I mean?
We was running.
You got to glide, slide.
Right.
We was dirty about time we got there.
Shit wasn't white no more when you were there.
Right. Mammoth Garden.
But, yeah, he had drew on
people
the were
like, they had the gray outfits.
Yeah, he drew on them that day, so we all run up to Mammoth Gardens, you know what I'm saying, what they call the Fillmore now. Smelling like fresh marker, you know what I'm saying? And we went into the back. They let us in. They treated us with great, you know, respect and, you know, gave us the VIP treatment, the food, everything. And, you know what I'm saying? We were real nervous, man. This was our, like, full-fledged concert, our first concert we was ever doing as a group. And, shit, man, we just had our routine down so good that we wasn't even worried. You know
ain't
what I'm saying?
Tripping, yeah.
Right, because it was natural for us.
And how old were y'all? Because I know Jazzy Jeff. I know Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince were like 17, 18 years old. So y'all were younger than that. You
we were younger than that. Yeah, I was 15. What was you about 13? He was about 14. Nah. I was about 16.
Yeah, I was like 14, 15.
And like you said, like your guys' presentation was opening the doors for other stuff because even before the bars weren't fucking with hip-hop, they definitely weren't fucking with hip-hop in 87, you know what I mean?
Right, especially in Denver, rare, you know what I mean?
Right,
especially in Denver. It was like, nah, you know. And like I said, man, if it wasn't for Big John, if it wasn't for DJ Starchild, DJ Slick Rick, you know, DJ Mixmaster Mike, you know, if it wasn't for them seeing something in us, then, you know, the history would have been different, you know what I'm saying? However, these cats saw something in us, young cats, right. And they really got behind us and supported us.
Because talk about the other night, like I said, we were talking about how they would stop their shows when you guys came in the building and let you guys perform right there. And then talk about that and the support they were actually giving you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they, you know, Big John and DJ Slick Rick and them used to throw these parties at hotels. They used to have, like, Scooters and Normans and
they used to have a pop
Maximilians and all kind of, you
all
know.
That shit.
And every time we would walk, we were young. And we was walking. Old enough to get in the club, you know what I'm saying? But they let us in the club, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And with little young cats going on, and they'd be like, we got HBO in the house. Everybody, yeah. And then they'd call us to the DJ booth, say, hey, man, won't y'all grab a microphone and get on stage, man? And then they'll stop the music right in, you know, in the middle of the party and let HBO get up there and do their thing. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, and, you know, showed us major love. So it was very humbling, a humbling experience.
Now, the one thing I love about you guys, though, is you guys are hip-hop, like, times a thousand. Because even before all this shit, you guys are b-boying.
Yeah,
you're breakdancing.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, we were.
Talk about that shit, man, because they need to know. They don't even know. We're not even hitting the iceberg yet. They don't know about all this shit. Talk about the b-boying and shit, too.
So, you know, 1984.
84.
Yeah, 84. You know, talking about...
Shorty.
B-boying was huge. You know what I'm saying? This was around B Street, you know, and breaking and all of that. And Denver really started, you know... break dancing and a whole bunch of break dance groups started to.
I was a little ass boy. Like,
he's a Camelot dancer. Yeah,
I
remember Camelot.
Camelot.
Yeah, I remember Camelot. You got Loke. Loke was on there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we was all break dancers, man. And we started a break dance group called the Atomic Breakers.
Right.
And we used to go enter contests and at Juneteenth and all of that, and we would win. You know what I'm saying? We was always. You know,
winning.
We was always winning, man. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I remember y'all too, man. I used to be in City Park watching y'all. The Camelot Dancers out in City Park. But yeah, it started back then, the hip hop, man.
Hey, talk about that real quick, the Camelot Dancers.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, we was named the Camelot Dancers. We came after the Lockers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so we started it up. We started it up. My man Steve McCann, he used to dance with the Lockers and stuff. So, and me and his cousins, Michael Fleming, Kevin Fleming, and their sister Jeannie. And then they got me, and then we went and got this other brother called Biscuit. He was our robot man.
Yeah, I remember Biscuit.
And then after we got Biscuit, we had two robots, man, because we went and got Glenn. So we was called, we was formed together. We won contests up at East High School, man. You know, all over the city.
Right.
We danced, you know, even in City Park on the major stage, you know.
Yes,
and we was up there doing it, you know, and me, myself. I do certain things also, you know, not only lock, you know, and robot, you know, I do other things. And like my man Steve, he do, we had this one routine to where when he lock, he'll jump up in the air, and when he land, I'll come between his legs, you know, slide while he's landing.
Before Big Daddy came.
Yeah, at the same time he's landing, right. I'm coming through his legs like that, and then I get up, I pose, I do my locking and stuff, and then all of a sudden I jump off the stage.
Now, can y'all do that for us real quick
now?
Y'all did, man. That'd be some dope ass shit, you know what I'm saying?
And then we got Loke, you know what I'm saying? Loke was a part of the history, too. Tell him a little bit about,
tell
about your, you know, break dancing. days and who you were down with.
Oh, yeah, we was, you know what I'm saying, we was one of them, you know, top-notch groups, you know what I'm saying. I was with a group called the Supreme Team, but we was an East Side Supreme Team, you know what I'm saying. So we battled, you know what I'm saying. We did videos and stuff, you know, that, you know, get noticed. We dance against Dancer Unique, the Spin Masters, because we was top. You know what I'm saying, Radioactive, Seymour and them, you know, anybody we... You know, anybody that was doing it,
you guys are battling.
And then, I was like the only, the whole thing, you know, I was the only black, you know what I'm
speaking
saying?
Speaking to Mike a little bit, they can't hear you, Mike. You know,
I was the only black, you know what I'm saying, that was, you know what I'm saying, really on the team.
Right.
But I was just, you know, I could pop, dance, you know, bang, bang. They couldn't do that, though. But then I learned how to, you know, spin, do all that. Then I end up knowing how to do most stuff, you know what I'm saying, all of it, you know. Yeah. So we won a lot of contest, you know what I'm saying? So that's what, you know, made me, you know, I was always, hip-hop was always in my blood.
For real, I feel you, bro. I'm right there with you.
I was around with them, you know what I'm saying, spray painting, you know what I'm saying, anything.
Just trying to find your niche.
Yeah, and that was my niche. I can go over, I put a hat out there, all them people coming. Hey, next thing you know, that had to be filled with money. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? We'll go right downtown on the 16th Street Mall.
Yeah.
You can't beat us. You know what I'm
telling me, him and D-Squeeze was also a gymnast.
Yeah.
And Love Ski from HBO, he was a gymnast. My baby brother, my little brother, Fat Dog, he was a gymnast.
Yeah.
And
so y'all they would incorporate and shit.
Yeah, they would incorporate that in their breakdancing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? In the routines. Yeah.
See, like I said, I had to always try to be the best at all of it. So I was wondering, when you came to do flips and all that, you better come with your best. Yeah.
Better come correct.
Me, because I'm coming with everything. Yeah. Double twists, whoop, all that, you know, everything. Double, you know what I'm saying? That's what it took when you in the, you know what I'm saying, on the east side.
Right.
On the east side, because it's more people. We used to go across to, you know what I'm saying, on the east side, on Steel Street and stuff. We'd go meet Terry Jones, them, we always battled him. We'll go anywhere because they knew that we all, well, let's go over there. They think they can flip, huh?
Right.
All right, let's just get on over and show you how it's done.
Back brothers. In the days, you didn't have to worry about shit. You might get, somebody might get in the fight. You're not all getting a fight, and then definitely no one's pulling out a gun and shit like
that. No, it wasn't no guns.
None of that.
You just had skills. If you had skills, you was there. You walked out there, just lost. You lost.
Yeah, you lost. You
know everybody lived. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, you know, back in then, it started just changing.
Right.
So, you know
it started changing in the late 80s, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 88. Though, yeah.
One thing about it, though.
Go ahead.
One thing about it, though, it did look like battles, right? Because there'd be one crew already up in a joint or something like that, and then you and your crew walk in, they turn around and look at you like, oh, what's up? So you turn around and look at them, what you want to do? Then all of a sudden the music break off, and then you got one come up from each side looking at one another, walk around in circles, and here it go. It's on. That's all it took.
That's all it took, and that's how it was back in the gap. Yeah,
that's how it was, you know what I'm saying? And you had to have, like you said back then, you had to have a routine. Else you ain't, you're not winning.
Right.
If you didn't have that routine, oh, you better be ready.
No freestyling, right?
No freestyle. No freestyle.
Only when you go out, when they send you out. You know,
professionals. When you're professional, you have a routine with your whole crew.
Yeah.
Go and hit that. We got to have 5, 6. We got to switch it up. Okay, we got another routine. Yeah. We got another one. Yeah. You got to keep making the people, you know what I'm saying, guess what's going on. We're going to come
next?
Harder than the next one. Then the next one's going to be harder. So that's how it was, you know what I'm saying.
Hey, how often would you change up your routines? Like, how long would you keep a routine?
You can't keep a routine because somebody will bite you.
So your routine is once, and the next time it's over, it's a brand new routine?
Yeah, you got to have all right after. You got to have more than one routine.
So y'all meeting up every day practicing?
Every day.
If you weren't practicing, you was in trouble.
Every day.
12 hours. Every day. I mean, you're sitting there, you're on the floor,
Every day.
Every day you had to, because you had to come up with different routines, you know. You couldn't keep the same one for the other show because somebody had already saw it.
Right.
And they putting their group together, so they want to use what you did.
Was there a lot of biting going on or what?
Yeah, man. Yes, it was, man.
You have to do it like that.
Man.
They will get you, because that's why you got to have 20 routines.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all think y'all just watch this one here.
Yeah. Right.
Now I'm spinning on my head doing, you ain't seen that part, huh?
Right.
You ain't seen this part.
Right.
You ain't seen me doing helicopters. You ain't seen that part, huh? Because I got five We ready for y'all.
And what's a surprise about the situation, though, when you are sitting up there battling somebody that you heard of them, they heard of you, you don't know them, but what's a trip is when you see them do your routine. You be like, and right then, you be like kind of pissed off. Right. Now, I'm going to be honest. That's when you think about the fighting, but then at that time, you be like, I'm going to do even better than fight them. Hey, y'all, we going to do it like this. And flip it on
Change
them.
Change it up. Flip it up on them.
Remember that one we was working on? Yeah. All right, nobody seen it? Watch this here. Put it together. We've been working on it.
Right, we got to hit them with that one.
Next, we on them.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, you used to break dance with Corey and Torrey and Charles Ross and all them. All them, too. You know, history runs
one time,
real
man.
Deep here in
Denver. Yeah, we got a lot of history in the building here right now.
Yeah, because actually, they came after us. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. They were
one time. The Street Rockers was pretty good. I mean, they could do them. You know how he can do his body, how Corey could do his body and stuff. We took second in that one. That was on the north side. They had a break contest and we took second though. But we was hard too. We put it down.
Yeah.
But they had Corey and them had that, you know, that wave and futuristic man. Them niggas was hard. You know,
was
I said,
the ticker. Torrey was the cold ticker. You know,
yeah, man. They got the doing
Corey
that.
Corey was the waver. You know, what I'm talking about. He used to do
he
wave.
Was, oh man, stuff.
Man,
that you just can't
it's
even.
It's deep. It's real, man. It's
real, man.
The
voice bad. I wish he was here right now.
And this around 1983, 84. You know, what I'm talking about. Yes, this was the early 80s, man. Hip hop developed here.
So did. We was in the
70s.
We was towards like 78, 75, 76. We elevated. We elevated more, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
sounds like
to the 80s, we start breaking board, you know what I'm saying? Breaking cardboard boxes and spinning on our head, you know what I'm saying? And having a routine. You got to have a routine when you got to have
hip-hop.
Different routines on that because that's hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? You got to have it. When they seen that, it was like, man, these boys spinning on their head.
Right, they got all kinds of shit going.
Yeah. My first time that, Rocksteady came from the, they had like a con, this was 83. They had this big contest, right? So before, it was Saturday, Rocksteady and them came and was all in front of Dave Cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Dave Cooks down on 16th Mall? Yeah.
Very end.
So we out there, they out there, they said, anybody out here know how to break dance, this and that? And only... We was in, because I was in the front, me and Seymour. So they brought us up. And they said, we want to see how Denver break dance, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, talking to Mike.
I mean, see how Denver break dance, you know what I'm saying? So they thought that we wasn't, you know what I'm saying, ready.
Right, they thought he was going to be slipping.
Yeah, but man, as soon as me and Seymour got on there, it was a wrap.
Seymour killed him.
Yeah, me and him, boy, we killed him.
He's a Denver
everything.
Veteran
they,
as well.
Whatever they was doing, we was spinning up. They said, oh, man, there is some good break dancers out here. Yeah.
And
I hung out with them fools
that whole
week almost. I was at the hotel with them. I met five of them, you know what I'm saying, myself at the hotel.
Yeah, and that was around at the break off of 84, right?
Yeah, right after. Yeah, okay, that was when they came. And then right after that one, they had to break that the big
the contest in front of Dave Cook. Yeah,
right next,
and that
right
was
after
the Rocksteady crew.
Hey, yeah, Rocksteady.
Absolutely,
I met all them fools. You know, I met them.
I had a break dance at the box and everything. Yeah, remember the box back in the days with Seymour? You know, what I'm
can't
saying?
Can't nobody hear you, man.
Yeah. And ever since then, and shit, man, we battled like a motherfucker. Yeah, but then, you know what I'm saying?
Seymour was, you know hey, saying? He helped us one time on
everybody,
something.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
me and Alex, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, because I go way back with me and AK before we was rapping, you know, that we rapping now. But that's what we did. We was a pop dance group. And we go across everywhere to pop against whoever. You got to have your, there you go again. You got to have your routines ready.
Yeah.
You got to have your routines.
I said, the history runs deep, man. All of us
we
go way back, man. We still a unit to this day, man.
Right.
And we bringing a lot more talent, a lot of modern day talent to the table. You know what I'm talking about? And
right. The next generation.
Yeah. Exactly. Paving the way for the next generation. And,
exactly.
Letting them know, you know, where the Denver foundation of hip-hop comes from. You feel me? From this true veterans right here.
You can't lose it, man. You can't let it.
One thing about me, I'm on the R&B side of this hip hop, okay? Just let everybody know I'm on the R&B. I'm the singer.
He's good. He's good.
Hey, me too. I'm versatile. I sing rap. Yes. I'm versatile. You know, comedy, everything. You know what I'm saying? LOC, the Eastside Godfather. You're going to see me in movies pretty soon, right. Something. I don't care if I get just
shows, comedy.
Comedy shows, whatever, you know what I'm saying? You will see me there.
Hell yeah.
And you got Cousin Caesar, you know, he be singing on a lot of our hooks.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying, he performed with us before. He done, you know, major things with us before, you know what I'm saying? And was featured on some of his songs on a couple of albums, so right. Yeah. So it's all one big family, man. HBO is not only the original four.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a whole
family. It's grown.
Family. It's grown, family. Yeah. And we got members who come and go, and you know what I'm saying? Shout out to our baby brother, D. Echelon. You know what I'm talking about? He one of the original homeboys. And your boy, Elbow Cypher. Cypher.
Yeah. SD.
AKA L Spell. Yeah, SD.
SD.
Yeah.
SD, one of the originals.
R.I.P.
You know, shout out to your boy Love Ski Lip Jockey up in Coney Island, Brooklyn, New York. You know what I'm saying? And your brother Kida, your boy Q, and your boy Hassan Hottie. You know what I'm talking about?
Aye.
You know, New York East Coast in the house. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to your boy DJ Mo, DJ Big Mo down in Texas, down there doing his thing. He's DJing, and he, you know, he got his own production company.
That's where I'm
from. And he DJs in a lot of clubs. He's in, I think, Amarillo, Texas.
Oh, Amarillo. Hold on. That's where I just came from. That's where he's at, down there in the Rilla. We call it the Rilla, not Amarillo. We call it the Rilla. But,
you know, he's still doing production and everything. You know what I'm saying? And it's real
you
cool.
Might you might get killer
down in the Rilla.
In the Rilla.
Get pillar.
You know, shout out to Victor Lane. You know what I'm saying? Everybody came back together, man. It was a blessing from up above that brought us all back together. You know what I'm saying?
Because that's one thing about you, man. You're connected everywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
We talked about you DJing in Memphis.
In Nashville. You know what I'm saying?
Talk about fucking DJing in the booty shaking club.
Oh, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, me and my woman at the time, you know, we moved out there together from Denver, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we used to have this thing about, you know, who can make the most money, you know what I'm saying? who can bring home the most money. So, you know, I would do a little odd job, and I had this little, I was like, man, that ain't me, you know what I'm saying? So I went to Texas, and I visited my cousin TLA, and he was DJing at Graham Central Station. He was DJing at the strip club, and he took me all these places, and then when I was leaving Texas, going back to Tennessee, I thought about it. I said, I taught him how to do this.
Right.
I know I can do it. So I went back, and just one night, you know, a friend of mine used to have this limo company, and he asked that I want to go ride in the limo one night down Nashville, around Nashville. I said, yeah, man. And he came and got me. I ran into this promoter out on Broadway, right there on the countryside
of
Nashville.
My posse's on Broadway.
You know what I'm saying? On like 3rd and Broadway. I ran into him out there. You know, out of nowhere, he had me these cars to the club. And he's like, you can get in free, man. Just go. I was like, all right, that's what's up. So I'm getting back into the limo.
Check it out.
Something said, ask dude, man, are they hiring for DJs and shit? So I was like, hey, homie, come here, man. I said, man, they looking for any DJs? He was like, nah, man, nah, they ain't looking for none. And then I'm about to get back in the car again. And he was like, hey, excuse me, hey, bro, come here, man. And I was like, oh, what's up, man? He was like, matter of fact, they are looking for DJs, man. One around at around the corner at Club 701. I said, ooh, that's the black club. So I had the dude driving the limo, my homeboy Bunky. Shout out to Bunky, my boy Hugh Bush up there in Springfield, Tennessee. That's my dog, man. I got to shout you out. You know what I'm talking about? But he took me around to the club, and the dude told me who to go ask for. Ask for the manager. Tell him you're here for the DJ position. And I, you know, went up to the club. I did it. He took him a while to come down, but I was like, I'm here for the DJ position. And he's like, here, follow me. He took me to the other DJ. And was like, hey, homeboy here for the job. And the DJ was like, oh, yeah, that's what's up. You know what I'm saying? He said, man, can you come in Monday and audition? I was like, oh, yeah, you know, ain't no doubt. And so, you know, I didn't tell my old lady at the time, you know what I'm saying? So I went down on Monday and I auditioned, you know what I'm saying? I went up there, and this is my first time DJing. I'm a rapper, you know what I'm saying? I'm a producer, and I never wanted to be a DJ. But I know how, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I got up there and boom, I started playing music and I'm like, oh man, it's a little easier than I thought it was. Right. You know what I'm saying?
What were some of the cuts you were playing? Do you remember?
Back then I was playing My Goodies by Sierra. I was playing what's the one by Twista? I Could Be Your Manager.
The one with Kanye?
With Kanye on it. Yeah, I was bumping that. I was bumping they had me bumping Lil Boosie before he even got big. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I was bumping Lil Boosie in there. These girls used to always say, man, can you play Lil Boosie? I'm like, who the fuck is that? You know? And then I looked into him. I said, okay, dude, you know what I'm saying, from Louisiana. You know what I'm talking about?
Because you said eventually, after working there for a while, you said a lot of rappers would go through that club, and Lil Boosie would come all the time, Jeezy, all those fools, right?
Everybody, man, everybody. I met, next thing you know, I'm DJing. So I go there that Monday, and you know, I DJ for the dude. So the other DJ was like, man, I'm going up for the management position and I need a DJ, man. Can you handle it? I'm like, yeah, man, don't even worry about it. So he took me outside and smoked a blunt with me and shit. And I was like, so what's up with the position, man? He's like, man, you got it. You start on Wednesday. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, I'm going to be DJing at a black strip club. Oh, shit. What the hell did I just get myself into?
I got to tell my girl about
I got to go tell my woman back. So I go home and shit. She was like, well, what you been doing? And I said,
got a job.
I just went down and got me a job. You know what I'm talking about? She's like, oh, yeah, a job. Where? I
said, where?
I said, if she only knew.
I said, at Executive 701. She's like, the strip club? Because she always knew I was in the entertainment business, you know what I'm saying? You know, she's like, this nigga done found his niche, you know what I'm saying? So she was like, yeah, really, you going to be working out? Yeah, I start on Wednesday, you know what I'm saying? I'll be pulling like $500 a week, so don't even worry, baby. I'm going to be making more money than you know? And, you know, it just turned into something big after that. I started DJing, and next thing you know, I started looking around. I was like, well, wait a minute. That's such and such. I'm in a fucking black strip club. You know what I'm saying? And I got in good with all the females, with all the girls. They loved me. And what I played for them, I had my own list of music I would play, and I would take. And I would play music down there that they wasn't playing in the South. Right. You know, like they got a song by Raphael Sadiq and what's your boy? D'Angelo, You Should Be There. Oh, man, I used to play that motherfucker in that club, and they just be like, hey, dude, you the coldest DJ I ever heard in my life. You know what I'm saying? Because I would pick certain songs that the South wasn't playing. You know what I'm saying? They were just playing these little rinky-dink, let me see it, bend over, let me see all these bullshit rinky-dink. And I go in there, and I changed the whole scope of the club. I took it from ghetto, from being a ghetto club to a professional club.
Right.
And I would start it with my DJ voice, you know what I'm saying? Right. Oh, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the all-new Executive 701, you know what I'm saying? Right. Nashville's finest club. We're going to be bringing some of you Cashville's finest women tonight. That's right. And we will have them two-for-one dances going on later on. So get ready for showtime. And I just developed a DJ voice,
routine.
Playing around a routine. And that it just happened working, naturally, huh? Man. And I just started DJing and shit, and then but when all the gangsters and all the rappers and stuff would come, I would change it up. You know what I'm saying? I get ghetto on their ass. You know what I'm saying? I start the ghetto ass. You know,
how's
saying?
That one go?
That's
real
what's
quick.
Up, everybody. Yeah, let's go put it up. You know what I'm saying? I change that shit up. You know. And they used to love me, and they would all come on, give me their promotional items, give me their CDs and all of that. You know, I'm looking down, I'm Bun B, I'm talking to Bun B, I'm talking to Young Buck, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking to fucking Juvenile, you know what I'm saying? There's all these cats used to come in this club. And shit, I just start getting their phone numbers, you know what I'm saying?
I network.
And establish, you know, a relationship with them, and I did, you know what I'm saying?
And then one of the times that you were talking about the other night is when he rolled up with Daz. Talk about that.
Oh, man.
Oh yeah, man.
Who is the homie LeVar, right? He's from Colorado.
I just came back. I mean, just came to visit my brother from Denver up to Tennessee or Cashville and shit. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? He decided me to take me to one of his his old script clubs and shit that he used to manage and shit, you know what I'm saying? And
I show you a good time.
Yeah, you did. You know what I'm saying? Let's go over here, man. You know what I'm saying? Let's just go see what's up. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Next thing you know, shit, we standing outside and, you know, shit, we just.
Your boy Lindell White pulls
Lindell
up.
Lindell White pull up and everything. Next thing you know, him and Daz Dillinger jump out the car. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, what's up, yo? Yeah, my man.
Right.
You know,
I was like one of your
biggest fans.
Right,
shit,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like the cat that inspired you. And
yeah,
you,
you know what I'm saying? That's my dude, man.
And he got to meet him, and that was huge.
You know, so, you know, shit, I made it backstage and everything. Shit, next thing you know,
smoking
shit,
the blunt?
He messed around and lost.
Speaking of mic, I can't even hear you, bro.
He messed around and lost the phone the next day. I don't know how NORAD lost the phone.
Somebody jacked me, man. There was some haterism going
that
on.
Phone,
you know, they
with
saw
Daz
me
Dillinger phone,
you know,
number in it.
And yeah, but what it was you know, Lindell White, running back. He used to be the running back for the Titans, Tennessee Titans.
He's from Colorado,
and he's
Denver.
From Denver. You know what I'm saying? Right. Went to South High School.
Yeah.
So. And he went to USC. You know what I'm saying? He went to USC. And matter of fact, he ended up, when he was in USC, he ended up getting cool with Snoop and him in the Dog Pound.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, when he was in the, playing for them Titans, Lindell was a beast.
Right.
He was my
Shout out, Lindell, man.
And
White.
I used to go for him. You know what I'm saying? I used to go for Lindell. You know, I'm a Bronco for life. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Tennessee, the Titans became my second team. But I still don't, I still wouldn't put nothing before the Broncos. I'm number Broncos only. You feel me?
All but day, if, every
know,
day.
But if they lose in the playoffs and Tennessee is going, I'll go for Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, he threw a party at my club. And my bro, Squeeze, had just came down to Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? And we, Lindell White. He threw a party at my club. It was the old strip club I worked at, but my boss converted it into a nightclub, into a venue spot, you know, build a stage and had to, you know, putting on live shows and everything. And
trying to do it.
Yeah, so I bought it. Well, he came down there to visit me, man, and I heard it on the radio that Lindell was throwing a party at the club. He was inviting, you know, the Outlaws going to be there, Snoop, Daz, Young Buck. You know what I'm saying? All of them cats. And I asked him out. You know, I really didn't care about that. I was celebrityed out. You feel me? Right. I was just like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, I don't care about that.
It's just like
that.
Seeing another motherfucker.
Yeah, you feel me?
Yeah.
I'd be at, chilling know? At the crib. And I was like, man, you want to go down to the club, man? Squeeze was like, yeah, man, let's go, man. Shit, I'm with it. So I said, all right, come on, let's get dressed. We got dressed and went down there. And like he said, you know what I'm saying? We standing in the parking lot talking to my boss. And Lindell pulls up in his Denali with your boy Daz in the car. You know what I'm saying? And they hopped out on us and shit. We sit in the parking lot, dapping the bubbles, talking, boo-boo, taking pictures and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you're in another city, you know, other people adapt to superstars different. You know,
right. Because it was natural out there.
You know, they do in Denver.
Right.
Yeah.
See, Denver, they'll go crazy. They'll be chasing them down the street and all kind of shit. Out there, they just another person.
Normal people, normal shit.
Yeah, people be see them and be like, hey, that's such and such.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm standing on 2nd Avenue one day, and out of nowhere, I was down there by myself, too, because I used to sell my CDs, you know me? And I was standing on 2nd Avenue, right where your boy, what's his name, the guitar player. Nah, no, not Lenny, the first dude.
Bo Diddley.
No. Played the Star Spangled Banner, you know what I'm saying?
Jimi Hendrix, man.
He stood on that same block on 2nd Avenue, downtown Nashville. You feel me?
Gotcha.
It's the black side of Nashville. Uh-huh. You got Broadway, which is the country music all up and down there. But when you take that L and go up 2nd Avenue, it's all black, and there's clubs everywhere. And there's stuff, you got B.B. King's, everything, you know what I'm saying? And people, they block the streets off, so people get to, and this is every weekend, you get to walk through the streets.
That bugged me.
And it's tourists, it's
crowded. Hey, man, that bugged me out. That bugged me out, man.
And it's like this, every weekend, all year around.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No,
what's tonight, Saturday? Yeah, by 10 o'clock, they'll close off the streets, and there's a party.
Hey, this brother took me downtown, man, and, man. I was like, man, damn, man. What the fuck? I mean,
What happened, man? Come on, man. What happened? We're trying to hear it.
I'm standing there. I'm standing on 2nd Avenue one night, you know, right where Jimi Hendrix played, because he came down from Clarksville, which is the military up, you know, about 25 miles away. And out of nowhere, man, this dude just walked by me in his black trench coat, and he taps me on my shoulder. He's just like that. And I'm kind of looking down at my phone, so I look up. It's fucking Garth Brooks, man. Damn. Just walking back, I'm like, man, what's up, bro?
That motherfucking Garth Brooks.
Good job. I was like, you know what I'm saying? Because I was starting to get known all around that place. We had VIP to every club, am I right? Mm-hmm. We, you know, clubs that cost $30 to get in, we was getting in free because I was the strip club DJ.
Right.
So that gives you club courtesy, you know what I'm saying? And they come asking me for favors, like, what's up, man? Hook me up on some of the women, man.
You know what I'm saying, Jack?
And so, yeah, you know, it started being good, man. It was beautiful, man. You know what I'm saying? I really miss it.
At the time I was out there, I had a very good time. Thank you.
You know what I'm talking about? I had to show my little brother some love.
You're welcome, man.
I said, man, we're going to go down there. We're going to go to the club, man, see Snoop Neil, man. He was like, okay, boom. So we met Daz Neil outside. We go. Matter of fact, my boss was tripping off my bro. You know what I'm saying? They're letting us in free. You know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't his vent. It wasn't his show. You feel me? It was a promoter show. And the promoter's like, right, man, I can get y'all in. You know, you good, no rap, but nah, I can't be letting that. So we go up to the front door, about to get in. Next thing you know, he disappears. I seen him hit lay in the cut and just walk right on in the club and shit without me having to explain anymore. I was like, oh, he in. I was like, yeah, my boss said I get in. It's like, cool. I go in. I can't find him nowhere in the club. So I'm looking all around the club, and next thing you know, I go look behind stage, and I see him behind stage smoking a blunt with somebody, but I can't see who it is, you know what I'm saying? And they keep passing this blunt. I'm like, ah, there the nigga is right there, man. God damn. I'm like, I wasn't tripping. I found him and shit. Once I found him, I'm like, okay, I'm cool. I'm looking all over my club. I went downstairs. We had a club downstairs. I'm downstairs looking for this dude. Like, where is he at? And then I walk backstage, and I'm walking up to him, and I walk on the other side of the curtain, and it's Daz, him and Daz sitting there smoking a motherfucking blunt together.
Yeah, that's what you told me.
I said, this dude is the craziest dude
you over looking for
on
this dude.
Earth. You know what I'm saying?
You over looking for this dude. He didn't post it up. He's somewhere
he
else.
He posted up with Daz, and they catching it.
Blazing him something.
I walk up to him, and Daz was like, hey, man, what's up, man? I was like, yeah. He's like, man, I'm sitting here hollering at your brother. He told me what's up with you. You know what I'm saying? He's like, man, you got your phone on you? I was like, yeah. I went by my phone. He gave me his number. He was like, well, shit, looking at both of us like, well, what y'all want to do? What y'all want to do? You know what I'm saying? Daz was like, I got your number, man. I'll hit you up. So, you know what I'm saying? Then we go around to the front of the stage. We hang out with Snoop. We get on Snoop's little TV show, something he was filming. You know, Lindell running around the club. You know what I'm saying? Cameras following him. You got the Outlaws, Young Bucks on the microphone. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to tell you something about Lindell. Mm-hmm. I know him very well. My ex-lady.
That's the homie.
My ex-lady, Kim. Mm-hmm. Liddell's her nephew. Okay?
Oh, wow.
So we used to, when I lived out there in Green Valley, mm-hmm. while Liddell was playing, right after he got hurt playing on the Broncos, mm-hmm. I went over to his mama's house. That's why I know his mama. I know everybody. And Snoop came in out of town over there while I was over there. Hold on. I'm over there barbecuing. I'm cooking everything for Liddell and them, man. And here comes Snoop Dogg. Yeah. Snoop Dogg happens to be Liddell's people.
Yeah, his people, yeah. That's,
I'm talking about family.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
okay. They're kin folks. Snoop Dogg comes, everybody don't know this, though. Mm-hmm. But Snoop Dogg comes here to Colorado all the time, y'all. He be here all the time, yeah, and don't nobody even know he be here.
Home. Yeah, Snoop be here smoking up all our weed.
I'm telling you.
Snoop be doing.
And then where he be at is right over there with Lindell's mom.
Y'all let Snoop know to come by the Smoking Joe Thunder with Elvis.
When I see him again, when I see him.
I'm the best weed.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, me and Lindell, we still cool to this day.
We get Lindell on the show, too.
Yeah, we still talk. I can call him and tell him about the show tonight.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Lindell was supposed to be in that video we just did. You know what I'm saying? But he had this meeting.
He was.
And he was like, I'm busy, man. I got to go to this meeting. You know what I'm saying? I said, okay. So, you know, I ain't gonna sweat you.
Right, right.
But we got Stevie Johnston one. In it. You know what I'm saying?
I went to
champ was in it.
We got Stevie Johnston. Yeah, the champ was in it.
I went to middle school with him.
With Stevie Johnston?
Yep. Yeah. I had like pictures with him as this, like at the parties, whatever, just clowning around, just, you know what I mean?
Do you know Lonnie Lightning?
World champion.
Lonnie Lightning Smith.
Yeah.
Him and them was fighting together. Yeah. Okay.
Is Stevie still here in town? Or
yeah, Stevie. He's still here. Stevie live in Montbello. So not Montbello, Green Valley.
I want to get a hold of him too.
I know where he's at.
He said he was in Florida.
No, you didn't see him in the video we just did. Uh-uh.
Yeah, he's out in Green Valley.
So you relay another message for me to Stevie Johnson. You know, this is Joe Thunder. We went to middle school together. Yes.
Yeah. I know just where they live. That's the truth. Because
we need to holler at you, brother.
And I will do that for you. I'll hook that up for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Everybody he know almost, I know.
Right. And we cousins.
And we cousins. We family.
Out of the whole family, we the superstars.
Okay, and that's for real, because I'm known around Denver. And all the groups that I've been in around Denver, we done been all over
he
Denver.
He got live Tan band and everything. You feel
98.6, Charisma. You know, it's so many names that I've been in, but we've been the same people, though. We just changed our name, you know what I'm saying? That's why I say I'm the R&B one. HBO,
you know what I'm saying? We heard you singing earlier.
Yeah.
When they put on the beat, I'm sure you're going to kick something.
Oh, yeah, I'll kick a little something for you whenever y'all handle your business.
All right, yeah. That's what's up, man. A lot of history.
Hey, so what?
A lot of history.
A lot, for real. We definitely appreciate that because, man, fucking, there's a lot. Like I said, a lot of stuff you just dropped on us. And
OG64 on down. How about that?
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? As far as the history, how far back it goes, 75, all the way up to now, you know. Started off with me, then they came into the picture, with, you know, when the rap came in and all that, you know. But as far as our family, I was the main one out here, you know, on the circuit, you know, when the circuit was going on, you know what I'm saying?
Right, so the true OGs and pioneers.
Exactly.
Of the music, of the scope of music in general here.
Yes, beginning. Here in Denver, yes.
You know, you even get Philip Bailey was born up out of that era. You know what I'm talking about?
Philip Bailey.
Uh-huh.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Shit. It goes deep here in Colorado. They don't know.
They don't know the history, man, and it's deep. It's a lot of people. A lot of people that you wouldn't even know of that's pretty much out, well, been famous, that's from Denver, you know.
Or at least been here.
Yeah.
We've had a confirmation from a couple of you about Too Short.
Mm-hmm.
Right there off
Yeah,
of
he's originally, as I told people that. I told you,
right,
didn't
off
I tell you
Colfax
that?
Right Colfax in like almost, what was it?
Too Short grew up in the Allbrook apartments in Montbello.
Exactly, there you go.
My cousin came to me, he said, man, I got this little homie that be rapping, because my cousin grew up in the Allbrooks. And one day I was bumping Too Short. He said, that's that dude I was telling you about. I said, but he from Oakland. He said, nah. And then I saw an interview that Too Short did, and he almost let it slip out.
Yeah, he doesn't really say it. I know what you're talking about.
He almost let it slip out.
He says, like, I started rapping something like when I moved to Oakland. He doesn't say before, but I know exactly, because I was waiting for it too, and I was like, you got to say what's up. But
yeah, and he almost did.
Fiends had like one of his first tapes, and it's like, it's like a 10-minute freestyle to fucking Friends.
Friends, yes, that's the one. Cuss Words.
Yeah.
Cuss Words.
I'm with that dude. He was with that dude, Freddie P.
No, that was way before he moved
about
to Oakland.
This one song, though.
Yeah, with Freddie P, yes. Yeah, that was when he moved to Oakland.
Yeah.
But my cousin, cousin Tone Tone, A-Bound, you know, shout out to A-Bound. Yeah, he told me about that, man, when I was young. We was kids, and he told me. This little rapper dude lived out there, man. He got this song called Cuss Words. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then I finally heard it, and I played it. He's like, that's what I'm telling you about. He said, Too Short from here, from Denver.
Yeah, he made his little pit stop. But like you said, there's a lot of culture, a lot of people that have been through here that you don't even know.
Denver has a whole lot of talent. We just ain't being recognized.
We just haven't been recognized yet. But Colorado, to be honest, Colorado don't support they're musicians.
Nah.
Okay.
You think we'd be on by now with the weed?
Yes.
With the weed culture.
Yes.
We should be throwing all kind of big bomb hip hop concerts.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Instead
but
of
they
paying
don't support.
The mother, you know, this side. Right,
they don't support, and I don't know why. I can't understand it. You know what I'm saying? Because a whole lot of talent then came out of Denver, Colorado, that made it right now. It's a shame that you have to go somewhere else to make it.
Exactly.
You know, and you can't even do it in your hometown.
like I did in Tennessee.
Exactly.
I made a name for myself. Next thing you know, I was hooked up with the cats in Memphis with I&E, which is Yo Gotti's people. Right. You know what I'm saying? I got hooked up with my boy up in Knoxville, Tennessee. My boy Hourglass, you know what I'm saying, from Teflon Beats. Matter of fact, he's from the rap group BMW here in Denver.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? He just happened to contact me when I was in Tennessee. He saw me online. And he's like, man, I didn't know you was out here. He says, let's link up and do some music. We did. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Got a song called Grown Man, man. And this is pretty hard song. You know what I'm talking about? We talking some real stuff on there. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I pretty much, man, went down there and then made during all of that, I made a name for myself, making a name for myself. I was doing it for Denver.
Right.
And everybody knew about Denver, about me being from Denver, and they called me Denver. Uh-huh. Hey, what's up, Denver? What's up, Denver? Hey, Denver. Because I was broncoed up all the time.
All the
Denver,
time, 303,
Colorado, this. And I'm right there on 2nd Avenue. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Hosting.
You know what I'm saying? They say, yeah, look at old Pimp C or look at old Run DMC or look at old, you know, everybody used to think I was a fucking star or something. You know, it was crazy. But it was cool. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh. Hey, what kind of shit you guys coming out soon? Anything else you guys got planned out?
Well, right now we're trying to wrap this album up.
Okay.
We called it The Resurrection, and we started on it 2 years ago once we re-signed with True Hustling Entertainment.
Okay.
And we've been working on it for the past 2 years, but right now we're almost at the end point of wrapping the album up.
Almost complete.
Yes, and then we're going to go on and release that, you know what I'm saying, and do a few more videos.
What's the timeline on that? We looking like, what, a month?
We looking at a couple of months. Yeah, we're going to be working this summer, you know what I'm saying? You know, we done took a real good hiatus, and you know what I'm saying? Now is the opportunity, you know, during the COVID, that allowed everybody to reach out to each other, you know what I'm saying, and put some things together. So that's what we've been doing lately, man. So y'all look forward to that new album, man. You know what I'm saying? HBO, Denver Hip Hop Pioneers, you feel me?
For real.
That's coming real soon. And it's fire. It's that fire I in. You know what I'm talking about?
You remember any of the other
it's mixed with that old G and the young.
I want to say, I'm trying to think. I was like young. That was the thing. So like my parents would let me go to like the older concerts, but not like all of them. You know what I mean?
You didn't go to DJ Quick?
Nah, I didn't go to DJ Quick. I didn't.
Okay.
I was in high school. You guys performed at DJ Quick, right?
Right, we did. Did you go to the Queen Latifah? That was more comfortable.
I didn't go that one. I wasn't here, I don't think.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah, man. Yeah.
You guys performed at the DJ Quick concert or what?
Yeah, we opened up for DJ Quick, man.
That night.
It was love at the last minute. He was here at the last minute.
Remember that. Like, we've had, like, at least 4 or 5 accounts, different views of people that were there.
That were there? Oh,
I was there.
We were there
take
that
the
night.
Then.
You know what I'm saying? We were there because, you know, we got to open up.
Right. So you guys opened up for DJ Quick.
And it happened.
The infamous DJ Quick show here.
It was crazy. It was believe me.
We matter of fact, it happened because the day before the show, we was wanting to open up for it real bad. Man.
Right.
Like, man, we got to open up. So I told our manager, Victor Lane, at the time.
Yeah, dude, he's fired.
I said, man, if you don't go holler at Petey, man, you're going to miss this opportunity, brother.
Uh-huh.
Go holler at Petey now. And dude went down there and hollered at him, came back and said, y'all on.
Hell
we
yeah.
There. Well, we was like, it was that easy?
Yeah.
Are you serious? We on, so we had to start getting
since.
Our stuff together. You know what I'm saying?
Get your fit.
So, you know, we opened up for him, and this is the first time I ever seen a fan crying. You know what I'm saying? Like screaming and crying with tears in their eyes. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, baby.
At this time, we was dancing and shit.
Yeah, we had these routines and
like
shit.
New Edition. Like
New Edition. Yeah, you know,
more like BBD.
More like BBD.
Yeah, I was saying BBD. More like BBD, not New Edition.
You know what I'm saying? That is funny. The history is funny. But, you know, one thing about us, when we do hit the stage, we will bring y'all some type of little routine, you know what I'm saying, to make you say,
still
oh,
from the
shit,
old school
okay,
days, yeah.
okay, okay.
You better believe it.
Is it a different routine every time? Different routine every time, right?
Yeah.
You better believe it.
remember.
If it's the same song, I mean, different song, yeah.
Nah, you got it, you know what I'm saying? If it's the same song, but you can't do the same song over and then you go, that's the only routine.
Right.
You got to flip it up. Yeah.
Right. But
a whole different flavor, you know what I'm saying? Now you're just
that's what we do. So, yeah, man, we got to open up for him that night, man, and it was
beautiful.
Talk
about what happened.
It was cool, man. We opened up. We did our part, and whoever else opened up, was the Brothers Most Wanted who opened up with us? Sabotaging them? Really? Okay. And after the show, we still got to stay behind stage, you know what I'm saying? We still had the VIP treatment.
Right.
And Quick's getting ready to go on, and I'm like, oh, shit, some shit's getting ready to go down. I looked in the crowd. I saw all of them standing out there. Matter of fact, we went down there and talked to them for a while, then went backstage, and you know what I'm saying? I was like, it's getting ready to go down tonight. So we back there watching it. Next thing you know, we watching the show and we start seeing cups and shit flying up on stage.
Bottles.
And then next thing you know, hands start going up on the air, in the air. And then the lights, the whoever was controlling the lights knew what was going on. Yes.
I'm still
because
back
he
there
turned
eating
the lights.
Chicken. I'm
pitch
still
red
back there sucking down
and
chicken.
And had it flashing just red.
Mashed potatoes.
And DJ Quick would start saying, bombed it.
Sucking down corn
on
the
cob. And then
next
thing you know, bottles. Yeah, bottles started flying on the stage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Big old brawl busted out.
Second to none, they dodging shit right on stage. And DJ Quick said, man, fuck that. He went behind stage. I mean, he went on to the back of the stage and grabbed this big old jug of water.
Yep.
Right. Not one of them jugs. No, yeah, one of them square ones. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And grabbed it and went to the center of the stage, to the end, and just slammed it on the, you know, down on the ground. Everybody moved out the way. Next thing you know, they gathered back up. Boom, boom, boom. They start hitting him up. They jumped on stage. Uh-huh. Just start jumping on stage. Oh, it was terrible, man.
But he said, I'm not coming back to Denver, Colorado no more.
You know what I'm saying? He was trying to do his show, but. You know,
hey, he ran into the wrong people.
Yeah, the homies from the
hood. And then the stuff that he was saying, of course, that's, you know, it's going to go down.
Right.
Them boys was thirsty.
Yeah, they were.
They was just waiting for, all right, comp, he said the wrong thing, there you go. You know, and then it was a full, everybody was up there.
He just started saying, bombed in.
The whole east side was there. You know what I'm saying? All of everybody. And they just went off.
One thing, like, I never really knew, but the homie Sandman broke it down for us, is, like, he's, like, when he was talking shit about just, like, Denver, he was talking shit about them, but what he didn't realize is that they weren't from Denver is because the Crips were migrating east from Cali, and they were really from South Central Los Angeles, but they were moving here, Kansas, everyone else. So they weren't from Denver, but they were actually from the fucking hood back in Cali. So it was actually bigger than fucking just change fuck Denver, you know what I mean? Like, okay, it went back to the OGs and to your neighbor, back to your neighborhood. Because
see, I lived in L.A., you know what I'm saying? And I know how they do it, you know? Yeah. And all he had to do was do his show.
Right.
Something that he said sparked them boys.
It's just the homies from the hood, you know what I'm saying?
That's all it
was. And then, we're still behind stage, and we run out to the alley. We trying to get away. We, you know, by this time, it's full
on.
We in our limousine. Our limousine is waiting for us right in the back.
So he got his limo parked in the back. And next thing you know, everybody's, instead of running up behind stage, they was outside by that time.
We was out that motherfucker.
They came from each end of the alley, running down the alley, jumped on this dude's limo, was stomping all on it. He couldn't get nowhere.
Couldn't get nowhere.
I mean, it was crazy. And then we going to go get into this van. We was getting in the van, not the limo. It was in the van. And we was going to get into the van and all I heard was just tire screeching and pop, 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 boom, 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 pop, pop, pop. Goddamn, Denver is fucking crazy, man. Denver is fucking crazy, man. What the fuck?
It wasn't playing, and then the police could not even handle it.
No, they couldn't. It was crazy.
It went bazonker up.
So, needless to say, you know, we drove off with a caravan, you know what I'm saying?
High 10 the fuck out there.
Got up out of there, you know what
I'm talking about? I heard about it the next day.
Yeah, you feel me? Yeah, it was crazy. It was fun for us.
He went to jail, too.
Yeah.
A lot of folks went to jail.
I knew.
But it was cool, though.
That was on the news. I remember they went to the red line right there in Park Hill and got him up, arrested him up. And he spent a couple nights in jail. And
yeah, because he started whatever what he said. He started a riot.
But yeah, it was fun, man. It was fun for the homeboys, man.
Hell yeah.
You know, it just showed me how much love that we have here in this city. To go to the promoter and ask him, can we do that the last minute? Uh-huh. And him say yes. And we didn't let him down, man. We didn't let them down. They were doing, them females was going crazy that night, man.
And that's as well as the performance we put on with Queen Latifah at the Rare Campus, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. That turned out super dope, man. Back in
ask some questions.
What year was that? 1989?
Is that the show at Auraria Campus? At Auraria Campus. Was Kingdom and all them or what?
Yeah. Kingdom, did he open up? I don't know.
It was like.
But I know the promoter that put on the concert, uh-huh. He used to throw the shows at this little club on the Auraria Campus, little bar type of club.
Right.
And
Koha, probably.
I can't remember the name, and I'm trying to remember, and I forgot the promoter's name. I vowed
to
never.
Shout out to Wendy Barr, though.
Because he used to. Let us perform there all the time. He would do, we'd be the headliners, you know what I'm saying? So after DJ Quick, you know, before when we was doing the shows there, you know, we have a little crowd or something, but after right. DJ Quick, shit, that motherfucker was packed, you know what I'm talking
right.
about? You know what I'm saying? It was like, you know, made a good name for ourselves that night, you feel me?
Right.
And, yeah, man. So, yeah, the Queen Latifah was at the event center on campus. It's right next to the little club. It's that big old building you see across from the Tivoli.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was in there, man. And that was 10,000 people.
Damn.
We got paid for it. We had a limo.
Y'all had a bunch of limos, huh?
Yeah.
That's on his rider right there. He's like, we need a limo.
and our baby brother. Our baby brother was doing that as well. Man, we got to get a limo. We want to get no limo, man. We catch the bus if we have to.
We walking. We walking to the
we
east side. However
you get there, the show must go on.
Right. Well, man, it was definitely interesting, and we definitely appreciate all the knowledge that you dropped on us today, man. Appreciate you guys coming on by the show.
Right on for having us,
salute
man.
Salute to you.
Right on,
I've
man.
I've been waiting, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. We're going to have to do this again, too, because there's even more to talk about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot more.
Album about to, hey, it's about to, we already almost finished, you know what I'm saying? Right. It's ready.
Right, yeah, the album's ready. You feel me? Yeah.
You let us know, man.
Hey, the next.
The Lion's Den is here.
Yeah, the next video is going to be
The Lion's
Den. What, Denver Life.
Denver Life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We about to drop that video.
In the LOC, you know what I'm saying?
You know, drop a couple other videos. But, yeah, man, I don't know how much longer we got. Yeah, but
we try to get that one on there, though.
A few more things.
You know what I'm saying? That one going to be.
We're almost on time.
Okay. Well, yeah, like I said, man, HBO still in the house, man.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We took a 20-year hiatus, you know what I'm saying? You know, we was about to be a part of the Rap-A-Lot family in 1998, however, you know what I'm saying, that didn't happen. So, you know what I'm saying, we back here, you know what I'm saying, I'm back home.
Right.
We putting it down for Denver. We showing the next generation and letting them know where, you know what I'm saying, the foundation and where it comes from, you know what I'm saying, because without a foundation, you can't build anything, you know what I'm talking
right.
about?
Right, that's right.
You got to have that foundation. Right. We are that foundation of this Denver hip-hop scene.
Yes.
And, you know, which transcended into a lot of bigger and better things, you know what I'm saying, in different right. arenas and R&B and you know what I'm saying, it's DJing and producing, you know what I'm saying, that's what we do.
You say movies.
It's our blood. Movies, yeah, we were in movies before. Hey. We were in Die Hard Part 2.
Uh-huh.
We was in, with Vanessa Williams in the Perry Mason.
Oh,
what
they're
else?
Talking about the Come Father on. Dowling right there at Annunciation.
Perry Mason. Yeah, tell them some more, Squeeze.
With DJ Fame.
DJ Fame was in the Father Dowling show with us. We was in the arcade on Colfax, the old arcade.
R.I.P.
And we was acting like we was a gang, you know what I'm saying? Rooting on this one gang member who was playing the video game. We was back there, go. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
DJ Fame was in it. Like, you know
Yeah,
we did Perry Mason with Vanessa Williams. You know what I'm saying? And you can go, it's on YouTube, you know, the scene that we're in.
Yeah.
And the director stopped the whole thing. It was like, hey, man, what you back there doing, man? Keep on doing that. And then he told me that. And then next thing you know, it's in the movie.
He got me all up in this movie, man.
On this scene. I'm like, wow.
What were you doing? Were you breakdancing?
Dancing. No, I'm just in the crowd just dancing like this. Hell yeah. He's on stage with Vanessa Williams and Angela Bassett and this other girl. And he's their bass player for the band. He's up there, you know what I'm saying, playing the bass for the band. While Vanessa Williams singing, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
It's on YouTube, man. Y'all can go on YouTube, look up Perry Mason, Case of the Silent Singer. You know what I'm saying? It's called Case of the Silent Singer. And it's in scene 6. And you will see the homeboys. You will see the homeboys up in there.
He even know the scene.
Hell yeah, he said he know, you know that scene.
He knows exactly.
I've done my research, man. It's called research.
Because he's living the Denver
dog. With this, you know, with modern day technology, man, if you ain't doing your research, man, you sitting back twiddling your thumbs and flipping through, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's at your leisure, it's at your disposal. So do your research. Yeah. Anything you think in your mind, you go research that, man, before you try to go contest anything. You feel me?
Facts. Yeah,
we did Die Hard Part 2 with Bruce Willis. You know what I'm saying?
Stapleton?
Yeah, up there Stapleton. Yeah, yeah. They caught the homeboys in there, the hat going across. You know?
Hell yeah. Whoever you had for like a manager, like fucking did a lot of shit. You want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, we had in the beginning, our manager, we was when we started as HBO, we have our cousin. Her name is Patricia Gordon. And she, cousin Pat. And she seen us winning these contests and stuff. She's like, hey, I'm going to manage y'all. I'm going to do this. We're going to go out. We're going to do this, do that. Go get some drum machines, get some outfits. And woo, 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 woo. And we did. You know what I'm saying? She took us to the studio. She took us to our first studio session, and that was with Steve Rowland from the tag team.
Okay.
He produced 4 songs for us. And she the one that you know, paid for that. You know what I'm saying? And she, because we got with him, you know what I'm saying, after Loveski moved back to New York. Mm-hmm. Since when they left back to New York, kind of messed HBO up. So it was just the H and the B left. And we decided to just roll with the homeboys. You know what I'm saying? Homeboys. And next thing you know, she was managing us, man. And we started doing some major things. And next thing you know, that kind of faded away. And then Victor Lane, we met L Spell up at North High School. He joined the homeboys. He was the third member. And his cousin had this little Volkswagen. He came fresh from college. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me. But, and shit, he had skills, man. He's like telling us what to do and how to rehearse and do this, do that, do that. And I said, won't you make these phone calls for us then, man? Right. Get us in this show. Get us in that. He started doing it. Making a name for himself, you feel me? And started networking and getting connections, contacts, and things of that nature. He managed us for a while. He the one got us into DJ Quick. And then Stormy from Stormy Productions came along.
Right.
And then, you know, since she had her own production company, promotions, record label, whatnot, she was looking for a lot of Denver talent. We started working with her for a while, you know what I'm saying? And then me, him, and L-Spell, we released an EP called This What the Niggas Want. You know, our hit song on there was called 40 Ounce. Uh-huh. And a lot of people still sing that song to this day. You know,
40 Ounce.
Oh, hey. You know, that was our hit song.
Right.
And I still get people from out of state everywhere talking about, man, where's y'all song 40 Ounce? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and we released that EP in 1992. Then afterwards, me and Squeeze, you know, and L, we kind of got into it, you know what I'm saying, over some stuff. And we kind of went our separate ways, you feel me?
Right.
And then Stormy as well, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what happened, but we kind of went our separate ways for a while. And then we had stopped rapping for about 2-3 years. Then our baby brother, he was about 13 years old, you know, SD, D'Echelon. You know, I wanted a Scratch G told me never, ever to give up on my dream. Right. Never ever to give up, you know what I'm saying? He said, I heard you wasn't rapping no more, nothing, you know what I'm saying? And don't ever give
shout
up.
Shout out, Scratch G.
Yeah, shout out to
that's
Scratch
some
G.
Fucking positive fucking
he looked
shit.
Me in my eyes and he said that. And from that day forward, I said, I'm going to put the group back together, you know what I'm saying? And I went and got my baby brother. He was 13 at the time, put him in the group. We started performing, doing a lot of shows, getting back. And Scratch G let us get some free studio time at his crib. You feel me? Uh-huh. And we did a few songs on one of his compilations. We did a song on his one song on his compilation, and he produced like four or five songs for us.
Right.
And that kind of got us back in the game. Yeah. Then we was performing, and yeah, we was performing at this record store on the north side over here, off of 32nd, 38th or somewhere, and Lowell or somewhere. I can't remember exactly where it was, but we was out there performing. They did a rap show when we ran at 1332 Records, Governor Dog, you know, Trey Deuce and LKG, you know what I'm saying? DK All Day, you know them cats?
I don't.
You don't? Oh, wow. You don't know?
Ain't that Ludus Arcadian?
Yeah, yeah. LKG.
Yeah.
Your boy, Governor Dog. Your boy, Governor Dog. And D-Man, you know what I'm saying? He go by D-Funk now.
Okay.
But Trey Deuce was part of their group. And he saw us out there performing. And then after we finished performing, he was like, hey, man, can I talk to y'all for a minute? We was like, yeah. We were just starting the new homeboys back. This about 95, probably. 95. And he said, I want to sign y'all to my label, man. I want to work with the homeboys, man. You know what I'm saying? Get some contracts, man. Get y'all on and shit. We was like, cool. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have nothing else. Nobody else offering us stuff. So, you know, 1332 Records and Trey Deuce kind of parted ways, but he started his own record label called True Hustling Entertainment. Yeah. And he signed the homeboys to it. And so that allowed us to get back in the studio. We worked on an album called 10 Years of Bullshit. You know what I'm saying? We went out and got Cousin C's featured on the album. We got we got your boy Mac V featured on the album.
Right.
We got Cutting Crew. We got who else, man? Our cousin Wee Nut that just passed away. Rest in peace, Wee Nut. You know what I'm saying? We got the Neighborhood Youngsters. My baby brother, De Echelon, you know what I'm saying? He went by SD at the time. You know what I'm saying? And we got a couple other features, you know, featuring C's. Who else, man? I can't think right now. The Neighborhood Youngsters. You know what I'm saying? Mac Baby and a couple other Denver artists, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the album, 10 Years of Bullshit, you can go on YouTube, type in THE Homeboys Denver, and the whole album is on there, man, you know what I'm saying? And that album got released in 1997, and I wasn't expecting it to do what it did.
Right.
And it started shooting up everywhere. Yeah, and then next thing you know, we went to Sunshine Records on Colfax, and our dude for True Hustling, dudes from True Hustling handed us a Source magazine. And he said, won't y'all look at number six. We was number six on the Source magazine in the Billboard charts.
Hell yeah.
Number six, you know what I'm saying, with Biggie, Tupac, Bone Thugs and Harmony, all of that for record sales that week. Yeah. So that first week, we sold a lot of records of that album. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was like, wow. You know what I'm saying? And then it just kept selling. It kept selling everywhere. We was doing CD signings at all the malls around Denver, Colorado, you know, Denver, and we was expanding our horizons, man, and we just started doing shows, and we started getting back out there. We opened up for Red Man. We opened up for 112. You know what I'm talking about? we you know, homeboys was back, you know, full-fledged, you know what I'm saying? Yep. And then we ended up doing a remix to this song called Denver Thing, which is the Mile High Salute.
Right.
When we did it for the Broncos, right when we won that first Super Bowl.
Yes, yes.
It was heaven sent, man, because my childhood dream wasn't to become a rapper or a millionaire. It was for the Broncos to win a Super Bowl. and they did. And, man, it bugged me out, dude. So we released a single called My High Salute right there in the Sunny Day remix, and we re-featured Caesar on the Sunny Day remix.
Hell yeah.
And that was like the cruising song you listen to, but the other one was for the Broncos.
Right, right.
And it was like one of them dashing hardcore songs, and they played it on the radio, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they played it, and, you know, I woke up one morning and was like, hey, your song's on the radio. I was like, oh, damn, well, right on, Denver. And they were showing us Major Love. We had our CD CD release party at Market 21, and we pulled up in the limo. Fucking lying around the block. You was there. I remember that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It was hosted by DJ Mixmaster Mike.
R.I.P.
Ah, it was beautiful, man. And I'll never forget that. You know what I'm saying? Then right after that, man, after the Mile High Salute thing, we got a management dispute with the record label and the management. So we ended up, you know, having this dispute with You Hustling Records. And then our management kind of backed up off of us, like, damn, you know, why they coming after me? You feel me? What I do? You know what I'm saying? We were just trying to handle business. You feel me? And because we were so big at the time. You know what I'm talking about? It was huge. You know, he was showing me the charts where Texas, we were selling in Texas. It was Tennessee, all these states with the numbers on them. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, they love us like that. And I had a couple of people out of states remember me from that. And so, yeah, we released that, man. And after the dispute, we did a big old interview on 9 News for the Broncos. And shit, we picked up a new manager, Wendell Whitaker, you know what I'm saying? Diamond Whitaker from Delicious Entertainment. And he got the homeboys, you know, he got us back in Juneteenth. He had us doing some other shows, and we was pretty much there, man. And then just all of a sudden it just kind of fell off, man. All kind of violence started happening. I don't know what happened around that time. It was just ugly, you know what I'm saying? And we used to have a bunch of bodyguards, like big-ass bodyguards who wore black and with the homeboys on the back and security, you know what I'm saying? And me and one of them, shit, ended up getting pulled over by the T one night, and it wasn't cool for me, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't cool for me, the end result of that, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I was tired by that time. I was like, man, shit, we don't put out these old albums. We ain't making no money, you know what I'm saying? What? I said, baby, I woke up one morning and said, baby, we got to move. We
That's when you moved to Tennessee.
Yes, in 1998. Yeah, yeah. By September 1998, I was gone, you know what I'm saying?
We're glad you're back now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yes. And yes, like I said, I am back. D Squeeze, he ain't never left.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? He's been here. We all back together as a collective unit, man, putting it down for Denver, man. Even though we the OGs in the game now, we still going to give you some good music because that's what the homeboys always made was good music.
Right.
You know, it ain't that gangster. It ain't that
Good.
Music. Yes, it's feel good music.
It's feel good music.
Sort of like, you know what I'm saying, your boy Shock G Nil from Digital Underground.
R.I.P.
You just got to have happy music sometimes.
You know what?
And rest in peace, Shock G, you know what I'm saying, DMX, Black Rob. You know what I'm saying? We losing a lot of the pioneers.
It's crazy, man, crazy.
And I'm one of the pioneers. So, it's time to stand up for what you know. And that's Denver, Colorado. You know what I'm saying?
In Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, well, check it out. That's right. They got a lot of new shit coming out for you, so check them out. My homie Eric B is going to drop a beat for y'all real quick.
Okay.
See what y'all got, you know what I mean, for the fans, you know what I mean?
We're going to play around a little bit, man, show y'all, you know, how simplified it is when it comes to this Denver music, you know what I'm talking about?
It's that Denver music, original OGs. Icons in the motherfucking game, HBO.
You got your boy D Squeeze in the house. Denver, Colorado's finest.
Conrad.
Your boy General Norad.
General.
I'm the General Norad.
What?
I'm the cat that they wish they had.
What?
They had up on their team.
What?
Every night it is a dream. But they need to wake up.
What?
I'm talking about Jacob.
Yeah.
Got my cousin C's blowing.
What?
They ain't really knowing who we are and how we put it down.
Don't you know?
The homeboys run the town.
Homeboys.
Talking about HBO.
HBO.
Yo, they don't really know. Yeah. Squeeze. Tell them a little something.
Hey.
Let them know what's going on while the music's bumping.
I put down a bottle, put it years ago. I said, damn, get to the bottom of the yard. Came back in his clothes, they was gone.
Ooh.
And then I left it alone again. Oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Went around the block and I came back.
This is what we do when we grab this mic.
Oh.
We be dropping the shit that everybody like. Yo, you know I get the crowd hype. And I do this almost every night.
I'm with
got
the homeboy.
Got your boy Loke in the house. And we're ready to turn it out.
Yeah.
Who's that making that funky noise?
Hey.
It's the motherfucking homeboy.
Here we go, I'm gonna ride the blocks.
showing what I do, cause I know what I got. I'm a renegade, they're trying to do this to get paid, to show you how I do it since the third grade. Woo! Psychotic thoughts in my brain cell, about to do this because I know I might go to hell, but not me, a real entrepreneur's man, to show you what I gotta do to take my stand. Woo! High powered, like a lawyer, about to show you what I got for you.
Get him.
A maniac that's on the streets,
that's
G.
Right.
Get him, C. Tell him what's up.
I'm with the homeboys.
Yeah.
We're here right now.
That's right.
Right now.
And let me tell you something.
Let me tell you a little
something. Don't mess around.
We don't mess around.
We got the groove.
We got it.
And make your body move.
We gonna make you move, man.
Come on, get to this thing. Hey, baby, let me tell you one thing.
Give a Colorado, yeah, that is my motto.
Well,
I gotta put that down because it's hard to swallow.
Whoa.
I'm talking about I've been in the game so long that every time they see me, they say that boy can't go wrong. I'm a Denver veteran, laid the foundation. I gotta kick it right now for the situation. And that's to adapt it to put Denver on the map. I'm freestyling right now because nigga, yes, like that.
Whoa.
Gotta shout out my homeboy, Love
Yeah.
Steve, from Coney Island, Brooklyn. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Gotta give it up to your brother Q.
Yeah.
Cause that's what OGs and real niggas do. That's how we gon' do that.
Do it.
We gon' do it, and nigga, we thought you knew that.
Do it.
I'ma pass it right over the squeeze.
Yes.
Looking at the niggas like, nigga, please.
Ah.
Never even thought it again. Nigga, ever thought it again.
Hey.
I did that shit right back on the mic.
Hey.
You nigga what I said, cause that's just what I like.
Hey.
Denver, Colorado, where I'm from.
Hey.
Inside, Denver, Colorado, thumbs up. Got back to the crib. And now I'ma give it to them.
Hey. Music ain't nothing but a sport.
What?
Why should you play yourself a little short? I'm the one who laid it down first. And now I don't even have to rehearse to give you something that I know you're gonna love, that they gonna bump in they ride and bump up in the club. Yeah, I'm the Denver vet. And check it out, I ain't done yet.
I'ma come back with respect to show you what I got this rep. You wanna see me when I'm riding in these cars? You wanna see me? Who is that? Or I'm the maniac from the streets. I'm about to show you how I do it to get this money, OG.
Yeah.
I'm back on the track. And now you know what I'ma do.
Take
attack.
It, C's.
I'm with the homeboys,
with
yeah.
The homeboys.
And let me tell you what it's all about.
What it's all about.
We don't play around with nothing.
Nope.
Because we do it right.
That's right.
I'm with the Denver crowd. And let me tell you just what it's about.
Ooh.
The homeboys in the town now. Hey, y'all, look it out.
I know sometimes it make you wonder, but I'm sitting here kicking it with your boy Joe Thunder, and he just gave us a real good interview. Yeah, and we got to give it a minute or two to get back on track to attack the mic. That's what we do because we know how it acts when it comes to MCing, nigga. I'm the only one that can get it done, like a shogun. I've been rapping since 1986, and I'm about to break it down and give you the latest mix. Rapping ain't nothing but something that'll be doing line fronting, bruh.
Hey,
get him, C's.
There you have
it.
There you have it.
Well.
Come on, stand up, Denver, Colorado, stand up.
I'm with the homeboys. We in the town.
Denver, stand up.
Let me tell y'all something. We don't mess around.
Denver, stand up.
And we come to you straight.
Woo.
Hey, we're never late.
Denver, stand
come
up.
On, little ladies. Let me try and tell you. Hey.
That's right, Denver. It's time to wake up. It's time to stand up for your city. You know what I'm saying? You don't pay all the major artists out there all that money for them to be rich. Man, you making millionaires. It's time to start to support your own, Denver. Denver, Colorado, support your own.
Denver.
It's a Denver thing. It's been that my whole life, 23rd and Marion Block, baby. Your boy, General NORAD, D-Squeeze, Caesar,
Lope
in the house.
All day, all day.
You thought you knew, but now you know.
All day.
This is HBO.
All
day.
We out of here.
Every day.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.